Welcome to the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb. And this week we're going to be talking fish and marine conservation. Here in the studio, I have Charlie Bennett, who is from the Blackfish Campaigning Organisation. I think they're based here in England, but they're kind of international too. She's going to tell us all about that. And she has just come down from that London for the Whale Conference, which has been taking place at the Hilton Metropole over the weekend. So the way we're going, there won't be any fish left in the sea, apparently they say, in about 30 years. So what can we do about it? Can we save our fish? And, you know, do you like fish as a sort of thing or just to eat? But anyway, if we don't do something, there's going to be none left soon. And the Blackfish is a group who are campaigning, working to try and do something about that. Well, there's going to be community news, events and other activities here in Brighton and Hove on the show. And some music from here and there. So stay tuned for the next 55 minutes hour to Radio Reverb. Stay tuned all the time. But for now, it's the One World Community Show. So, first of all, let's say hello to Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Donald. How are you?
Oh, pull that microphone more closely to you. Yes, I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Lovely to be down in sunny Brighton today.
Well, it has been sunny, but have you not been cooped up inside that Metropole Hotel?
No, it's a shame it wasn't all outside on the front of the beach, but it's been a fantastic day at Whalefest. It's been absolutely wonderful to come together with so many people all really interested in the same things, saving our whales and dolphins.
That is great to hear. Now, this Whalefest, it sort of sprung up on me. I'd never heard of it until I went along to the Green Door store a few weeks ago and there met you. I went to this gig and it was kind of death metal sort of noise, something that you call it noise
was,
bands,
yeah.
Now all these people in black with sort of tattoos and Mohican haircuts all sort of screaming destroy, but it was in aid of the whales and the fish.
Absolutely, and such a bunch of passionate people as well. Like, it was fantastic to talk to all of them. But no, Whalefest has been set up for a long time actually. They're really good friends of the Blackfish and they're all focusing on whales and dolphins and how best we can go about supporting them. They've got a big campaign at the moment which is all about targeting SeaWorld to try and get them to stop holding orcas and dolphins in captivity.
Where is SeaWorld? What is it?
SeaWorld are the big sort of marine parks that you get in America. Yeah, so you've got the really big famous ones is SeaWorld, and they hold dolphins and whales in captivity and kind of get them to perform like dogs doing tricks for biscuits.
There was that thing where I told people on Friday, because I misread the website, that the Whale Fest was going to release an orca into the sea at the West Pier at 6
orca.
O'clock. And I said, oh my God, are they, you know, crazy? Won't people get eaten? And it wasn't one, a live one at all. What was that?
No.
You didn't see that though, because you weren't here.
But it was bit of a simulation, basically, showing the work that, to highlight the importance of being able to release them back into the wild. So they got a dummy orca lifted up on a winch and released back into the sea on the front of Brighton, coastline.
So, I mean, whales, saving the whale is a thing that has been going on for a while now. I can remember sort of way back I can't remember when it started. Presumably it started ages and ages ago. But the first time I remember was sometime in the 1970s, perhaps. And I don't know who it was. Was it Greenpeace or something? They started off and everyone had badges saying, save the whale.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and a lot has changed. So is the Whale Fest, is it about that, are whales in danger again in nature because they were like going to go extinct and all this kind of thing? Or is it more about the ones in captivity?
I mean, the focus of this year's Whale Fest was very much on those that are in captivity, so those that have been taken out of their natural environment and put into these tiny cages where they, well, as we all know, or maybe not, whales and dolphins communicate using sonar. And when you're in captivity, that sonar is like a wave of sound that bounces off things. And I mean, imagine that. If you're making noise and you're stuck in an enclosed container, it's going to give you a serious headache. And actually, whales and dolphins isn't something that the Blackfish works on so much, but it's really interesting to sort of get involved and support other organisations who are doing similar work that's all building part of the marine conservation movement.
Ah, so yeah, we've talked for ages and I haven't even mentioned fish.
And that's what I want to talk about.
You are from the Blackfish, not whale, but fish, but you're at the Whale Fest. But okay, so the Blackfish is about fish, which are different to whales. Whales are cetaceans.
Cetaceans,
they are. It's a new word, isn't it, that people say now?
It's becoming more commonly used more understood.
Yes, but they are mammals.
They are.
As fish are fish.
They are fish indeed.
It's a different.
That they are. So yeah, the Blackfish focuses on stopping illegal fishing. So lots and lots of organisations do really fantastic work on trying to get legislation put into place that stops the overfishing of our oceans. And as you mentioned earlier, it's predicted by, well, through science, that by 2048, if we carry on the way that we are at the moment, there's going to be no edible fish left in our oceans. So since the 1950s, we're down 90% on large fish in our seas. And I mean, these are some serious statistics that I don't think, well, a lot of people don't really realise. I'm sure in a town like Brighton, being close to the sea, people are slightly more connected. But it all can seem quite far away.
Yeah, but then that thereby hangs a sort of tale. Because some people, you know, they make their living by fishing, even here.
Absolutely. And I mean, when people give me that argument, say, well, you're going to be stopping people fishing, what I would say to that is, if we don't cut back on the amount we're fishing now, people won't have a livelihood by 2048.
That's the good point. That is the most obvious, glaringly obvious thing, argument, and which maybe people can think about while we play some music.
Absolutely.
Charlie, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you so far. Let's have some music. Now, I went to Chuck's Hush Hush Night at the White Rabbit last Sunday. I might even go again this Sunday. I'm not sure, but down there I saw the fabulous Erin Stolarczyk, and she was like on at the end, and I'm going to play you one of her tunes because she's so brilliant, and this is called L'Avenir.
In the dark when you can't sleep with all the shivers that you keep, you can take my fire anytime, and you can sleep with mine. I know you feel small inside, and that you're terrified of losing your mind. You can give it to me anytime, and I will keep it with mine. And I will
Wow. That's Erin Stolarczyk with L'Avenir, apparently made in her bedroom with her playing all the music, all the different instruments by herself. And that was absolutely brilliant, I think. You can see her in Brighton, and I will put a link to her Facebook on the One World Community Show Facebook page after the show, sometime around 6:30. After 6:30 on Sunday, you'll be able to find that. And then you'll be able to go and see where to see her in Brighton and Hove, because she's a Brighton musician. And we are Radio Reverb, your community radio station for Brighton and Hove, 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. And the One World Community Show is a podcast at oneworldcommunityshow.podomatic.com, where you can listen to the shows anytime, download them, share them with your friends or anything. There's also the Facebook page, facebook.com/oneworldcommunityshow. And on the show today, I'm talking to Charlie Bennett from The Blackfish. How would you describe The Blackfish as a thing?
So we're quite new, actually. We were established in 2010 by our founder, Vitsa. And he's one of these incredibly charismatic, wonderful, passionate people who has just been able to start this movement. And it's fantastic. So we work to save our oceans, essentially, to stop the illegal fishing of our oceans. And we do that through a number of different ways. So we love to raise awareness, get people talking about it, get it known in the public eye. But we like to take real action as well. So over the summer, we are actually going to be patrolling the Mediterranean Sea and the Baltic Sea. And we're going to be looking out for people using illegal drift nets. So drift nets have actually been banned throughout the whole of the EU. All of the EU waters, they should not be used. And this is because they're completely indiscriminate to what they take from the ocean. Like dolphins can get caught in them, whales, turtles, absolutely everything. As I said, they're completely illegal, but they are still quite widely used. And a lot of countries throughout Europe just don't have the means to be able to implement the enforcement of that legislation. So they don't have the vessels in place, they don't have the time, the money, and it means that they're still widely used. And it's a real problem because not only do they catch a really large amount of fish, they also catch things that they're not supposed to.
There's several things you said there that made me think. One was, is it just illegal fishing that's a problem? I mean, don't our governments just not sort of, you know, get it about fishing generally? And they sort of don't really care, I think. I mean, like our government at the moment says everyone must go out and, you know, do whatever they want without being regulated too much. But if people fish like that, then obviously, you know, the more fish you catch, the less there is. So you have to catch smaller fish and then there's no fish left. I mean, that's not illegal at the moment.
No, it's not.
But is it just the illegal stuff, or should the laws be changed as well, do you think? Oh.
I mean, I think the laws should be changed. The quotas that are issued at the moment by our government, obviously scientists advise every year what the quota should be, and the government tends to add several hundred thousand tons on top of that and then sends it out. So the way that we are fishing at the moment is completely unsustainable. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of that comes down to the fact that it's such a lucrative market, and it does, like, a lot of people, lots of livelihoods, and there's so much money coming out of it. But similarly to climate change, like, I suppose the government's only just admitted now that it's happening and it's caused by humans. I think things are going to have to get worse before the government notices and puts the legislation and quotas in place that can make things better.
But you said, though, that even though things like it's illegal, they have got a law against these kind of overfishing drift net things, but they don't do anything about it. I mean, isn't that just as bad?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're quite good here in the UK. We're better at patrolling, making sure that there aren't boats using these fishing techniques. But out in Europe, where they're just perhaps isn't the political will, and there's also a lot of corruption over in Europe around the fishing industry because there's so much money involved in it. So yeah, it's just not being in a lot of countries, like particularly in Italy, actually there was a huge amount of money given to them to buy these fantastic boats which were designed to be patrolled, sort of used by the coastal communities. They haven't actually left the dock once since they were bought. So it's really interesting, and there are lots of stories like that out there. And what we want to do is to be able to support countries and collect information and identify boats that are using illegal fishing techniques and pull together cases and support prosecutions to be able to prevent it from happening.
I mean, what do you think it is? Because, I mean, you know, it does seem so glaringly obvious that, you know, if you have a resource like fish, which, you know, they have to have baby fish, they have to grow up, and then, you know, if the fish don't grow up to have baby fish, then there won't be any more fish. And if you keep catching smaller and smaller fish, then there are going to be less and less fish for you to catch. And that is just sort of very simple. There's only about three steps of logic in that.
Yeah.
So why do you think people don't get it? You know,
I think in terms of the public, it just seems a bit too far away. Like, unless I feel, well, unless you have a real connection with the sea, a lot of the time it's not something you think about. It's quite hard to, you don't get the visual images that you do with things like deforestation in the Amazon. Like, that's something really hard hitting and something that people can really understand. So in terms of the public, yeah, a bit too far away. And in terms of sort of politics and our government, I don't know. They just don't have the political will.
So what are you doing to bring it into, you know, to change it all?
Well, of course. So, yeah, as I mentioned, throughout the Mediterranean and the Baltic, we're running these campaigns. Yes. We're going to be patrolling ports.
Can people get involved?
They can. This is the most exciting thing about it. So right. Lots of other... There are other organisations out there doing similar things. So organisations like Sea Shepherd Patrol.
Right.
But to be able to get directly involved with what we're actually doing on these campaigns, a lot of the time you have to have a serious skill set. So we're talking engineering, boat driving, and you also have to be able to give up vast amounts of your time. But we're actually starting up a new programme. It's a citizen inspector training. And what we do with that is we get normal people, absolutely anyone who wants to get involved, trained up over a couple of weekends. And we actually... we invite them to come out to join our campaign for 1-2 weeks at a time and to do some port patrolling. So it means that you can really get an idea of what marine activism is actually about and really get involved.
Fantastic. Well,
I think so.
Don't tell people that your website. We'll have a link on the Facebook page, and Charlie will say at the end of her thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Because anyway, that's amazing. I mean, there is a thing that I'm thinking also about this, and that is, can one country make a difference? Because do fish, surely one thing about fish is that they tend to swim about in the sea. There's no borders in the ocean. And so if fish may live in one place, but they have their babies in another place. And so one country by itself bringing in good laws will not necessarily stop the problem, because if the other country doesn't. So maybe is it not a thing where international cooperation is going to be essential?
That's something I think we kind of do, actually. So the Blackfish was founded in the Netherlands, and it's been a growing movement since 2010. We're actually now based, we've got staff members in 8 of the European countries. So I think we're building it, and we're getting Europe covered. And that's something that's also really exciting, that we're growing at this rate. People, it makes sense to people. There's legislation in place to protect our fisheries, but it's not being implemented. And... yeah, so we're getting out there. We're trying to make it an international thing, and it's building.
We'll talk about Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall and how good he is at getting people to do stuff, and how encouraging that is, after we play a bit more music. So, Charlie, thank you so much again. Charlie Bennett from the Blackfish campaigning organisation. Talking of international cooperation, here's some international music. I don't know who this is, but they sound quite African. They're called Kudwashi. They may be from London, but their song is called Afriquois. There we are. Some nice African music, possibly from London. I'm not sure. That's on the Worm Food label from a CD called Worm Food 2013. And I say label, it's a compilation CD. Worm Food is a music promotion agency and management group. Wormfood.co.uk. That was Kudao Shi, the band, with Afro... No, hang on a minute. Oh, no, that is Afriqua with Kudawashi. So, wonderful. Thank you very much to Charlie Bennett for coming along to the Radio Reverb studio on this sunny Sunday. So, you've been at the Whale Fest Festival, and you've been going around talking to people about the Blackfish Conservation Group, and we've been talking about how people can get involved, and is it so volunteering to go to out to patrol in the Mediterranean and in the Baltic?
Absolutely, and of course it's not just that. We have loads of stuff going on here in the UK. We've got a fantastic partnership with Lush, actually, the cosmetic store. They do some really great work on animal rights stuff, and we're going to be partnering up with them over the next few months, as we're going to be doing some fundraising with them, going into store, speaking to customers, and yeah, we do loads of stuff here.
Is there a cosmetics and fish crossover then?
Well, there is, because a lot of cosmetics that you produce obviously might be tested on animals, and it's surprising how much fish products get into things that we use. So the Blackfish, we're always advocating for things that don't have any fish content at all, and Lush do that really, really well.
So if people say that they can support the Blackfish in other ways, is there a Blackfish group around these parts? Because there certainly was one at some point.
Definitely. So we've got quite a few supporters down here in Brighton, and I'm only in London, so I pop down quite a lot as well. And we're all about building a little community and a little network of people who are really passionate about what we believe in, and getting them to do what they can, to give what time that they have, and bring their skills, their passions, and sort of take action.
Indeed. And as I said, last time when I met you at the Green Door store, you were saying about how that there is a certain amount of mainstream interest now, which is great at last, with Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall of the River Cottage fame, who is having his new programme is the Big Fish Fight.
Yeah, so he's been campaigning sort of behind the scenes for quite a while now, and it all came to a bit of a head over the last few years. And I mean, I think he's done fantastic work in bringing overfishing and the plight of our oceans resources to the conversation in the UK. I think it's fair to say that before then there was only a small group of people, well, a relatively small group of people talking about it. And now I think a lot of celebrity chefs do really great work in these sorts of areas. People know about it, and it's a recognised term. Like you say, the word cetacean is used regularly now. And yeah, it's just really helped to build the awareness and support what we're trying to achieve.
One of the things I was so impressed with was with when he said, I want everyone to tweet about, I think it was something to do with this huge company that was farming prawns in Thailand in a bad way, where they just hoovered up the sea and then fed it to the prawns. And he said everyone should tweet, and something like 38,000 people tweeted. So that's pretty good.
And he's absolutely right. Dredging is one of the most devastating sort of harvesting practices that exists on our planet.
What is that? Because that's I was talking about how there was a campaign against dredging gravel from the sea off Sussex, which was going to destroy all these wonderful little sea creatures, very necessary for the ecosystem. But that's a different, because that was dredging up gravel to use in building, whereas the other kind of dredging was, as you say, more like fishing dredging.
Yeah, so I mean, similar practice. You get huge nets that just get dropped down to the bottom of the sea, and they're towed behind a ship for miles and miles and miles at a time, and it just completely destroys everything in its pathway. So prawns, shrimp are fished in that way, and it's just absolutely devastating. I suppose imagine if you had a ridiculously high-powered plane up in the sky dragging a huge sort of, I guess, a sweep star thing, I can't think of a better word, and it just completely wipes out everything in its path. And it's so important for our marine ecosystems, because often like the base of the seabed is where nurseries are used, so for young fish growing up in the safe area before they go out and live their fishy lives.
Indeed. And isn't this not one of the questions that we must answer, is that, you know, if we're going to have any fish in the future, whether just because they're nice or because we like to eat them, then little fish have got to be able to grow up. Now, how can this happen if we're dredging the seabed everywhere? Everywhere there's, you know, baby fish, we're just trashing their home, their nursery. There won't be any more. So can that be turned round? I mean, couldn't we just sort of say this half of the sea, we're not going to have any fishing, and if you want to fish, you can fish in that half. Wouldn't that be better? Because then, you know, at least there would be some fish that could grow up in one half and then they could swim into the other half. Couldn't that be done? Doesn't that just seem to make total sense, or does it not?
We've got similar things. We've got marine conservation zones, and our government's actually just provided the approval for us to have a few more dotted around the UK waters. And yeah, they work on that principle that if this specific area is like wardened off, no fishing allowed, animals will be able to, well, fish will be able to grow up in that area, and then they'll go out and populate the rest of the seas. But we just need more of them.
That's what I was saying, because every time I ever see a map like that, it's like these areas seem just as tiny little drops in the ocean. And yep. Surely that's not going to be enough. Isn't that just kind of window dressing, you know, or do you think it could work with the tiny amounts we have at the moment?
No, I absolutely need more. I think what we're doing, like what's been implemented by our government at the moment to protect our oceans, it's not enough. We need an awful lot more, and we need public to realise it and to call on our governments to ask for that. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
Absolutely. Yes, we need to, so if people want to get involved and campaign, they can presumably go get involved with Blackfish. But, I mean, on your website, presumably, there's kind of more sort of scientific information as well that people can find out if they're really interested in it, because, you know, there is definitely a certain amount of that. But then, sort of, do you have like letters that people can send to their MPs and things like that? I mean, our MP Caroline Lucas, presumably, do you know of her?
I do.
She's the green one.
She is. I'm sure she loves this sort of stuff.
I'm sure she does. Yes, yeah. She would probably welcome you to be contacting her. But it's the ones who wouldn't welcome it who perhaps need it most.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm sure Caroline Lucas is already well on our side. It's changing the minds of MPs who might swing the opposite direction in a vote. So making sure that we're influencing.
What on earth do the other ones say, you know, the ones who don't believe in fish conservation? I mean, do they say, oh, don't worry about it, we don't need fish, you know, 30 years, what do you want fish for? You know, we'll eat something else, you know, we'll eat, you know, I don't know what, corn or something, you know. is that what they say? Because surely they must say have some argument in favour.
I think it's mostly economic arguments and saying
we want people to be able to have a job now, but that means they won't have a job in 30 years, so that's what we want. I can't imagine that they really believe that. Yeah.
Well, you'd think not, because it just doesn't make sense, doesn't it? but I think a lot of them just believe that what they're doing is enough and don't realise the severity of the problem, which is why we need everyone here to tell them they're wrong.
Absolutely. I have managed to link my next song. If we want to stop the fish disappearing, we might have to become awkward. And I have the song for that. This is the Bandana Collective. They're talking about it in a more general sense, but the wonderful Bandana Collective, and I hope I've bleeped out the swear word, but it's because they're passionate. Here is the Bandana Collective, and this is Awkward.
I'm cheerful, I'm not looking for a fight. Don't want any trouble, I get on with folks alright. I like laying by the river, dreaming in the sun, and to raise a pint in company when the day is done. But I started thinking maybe you won't let that carry on. The things you say are scaring me that something's going wrong. And I always thought I'd want to stay and talk the problem through, but you never really listened and I lost my patience too. I'm feeling all. I spread myself about. I get on with my neighbours and we help each other out. I think my work is useful, I like to lend a hand. But you're gonna put the boots in and we're gonna make a stand. It's a pretty basic concept, do as you would be done. We're not asking you're trying to push on us.
Simple, you'd agree.
I'm feeling awkward.
Awkward.
Won't do what I'm told. Not willing to cooperate. Not staying in the fold. I'm feeling awkward.
Awkward.
Can't be saying no. You'll never take away from me what I'm not letting go. Took away the post, stared rifles down on picket lines and marched from coast to coast. We saw off two poll taxes, it's pretty hard to hide. The stubborn non-compliance is a source of honest pride. The suffragettes and Gandhi, Rosa Parks and Dr. King. If we don't put our foot down, we risk losing everything. You don't have to have some complex intellectual extra grind, cause decency and justice are two things we're all behind.
Indeed, the Bandana Collective, they're awkward. And maybe we'll have to become awkward too if we want to save our fish.
I think we should.
Do you, sort of, as the Blackfish, now the name Blackfish, I mean, you say it's against illegal fishing. And I must say that's a bit funny because I thought people weren't supposed to say that black is a bad thing anymore.
Ooh.
Because I know that's what everyone calls it, but anyway, surely that's not PC now. Or is it because you're really secretly mad anarchists?
I'm going to go with the mad anarchist side of things, absolutely.
Because that is the sort of thing that I would normally associate with sort of conservation and animal rights and stuff. I know that it's not true, but in Brighton, and maybe that's just me, but a lot of the people who seem to be concerned about animals and conservation and nature and the environment do tend to be on the anarchist persuasion. A lot of the time. Do you find that that's the thing, or is it more kind of mainstream, you know, wide kind of spread of people?
I think it varies. I mean, what I find really exciting about our work is that it just seems to reverberate for so many different types of people. So you've got your scientists, your anarchists, as you say. We use a lot of drone technology, so we get lots of engineers who are really passionate about what we do
as well. Really, what robot fish
exactly,
patrolling things?
Yeah.
Really?
So
wow.
When we're on our campaigns, it's actually really expensive to send a ship out to sea for weeks at a time, searching huge areas of ocean, potentially not to find anything. So what we've decided, we're going to use drones now. So we can put a drone up, it can like circulate for about 30 minutes.
Oh, I mean flying drones? Oh, I thought you meant under the sea.
Sorry,
drones.
No,
I thought you meant
no.
Submarine drones. Oh.
No, air drones. And they can locate the vessels,
really?
And then
wow.
We can send the boat directly
wow.
out to them.
Wow. You don't like fire missiles at them, do you?
No,
not
no
like,
missiles.
Not like the government's
peaceful
do.
Drones, entirely peaceful drones.
That's good, in case anyone gets the idea. Okay. But, okay, so you're saying that it's not really a front for anarchists who are really plotting. And do you go, so you don't go around and attack sort of, you know, these fishing people who aren't doing enough?
No, we collect evidence. We just collect evidence, ship numbers, take photographs, all to build up cases.
And when you do that, do the governments actually then do anything? I mean, or do they still ignore it?
Well, it depends. It depends if they want to. So, obviously, we're going out to different countries. You have different levels of interest in what we're doing. It really varies. As I mentioned, there's a lot of corruption in some places, so it could well be that you bring a boat in and you're really excited, like, yes, we've got all this evidence. You come back the next day, it's gone because there's been a hefty bribe paid.
Indeed. And maybe you're going to get in the way of people smuggling and stuff in the Mediterranean.
That's been big recently, hasn't it? Human trafficking through the fishing.
Well, it used to be cigarettes and then drugs and But okay, so dangerous. So have you been along and done this then?
I haven't yet, actually. I'm still quite new to the Blackfish, so I'm really hopeful I'm going to get to go out and do the citizen inspector stuff this summer.
Right. Goodness, I mean, no, that does sound totally dangerous, though. Actually, going around and trying to inspect fishing people.
It's all done in a very tame way. So we, the people that we'd send out would just go along to ports and sort of look like tourists, essentially, like they're looking at the pretty Mediterranean port. And
that doesn't sound too bad.
Take a few photos.
But then again, speaking of governments, what about, you know? I mean, Russia's in the news. But what about all those Greenpeace people who were arrested and put in prison in Russia?
I mean, that's something different, I would say. Greenpeace have a slightly different approach to us. They go for the really direct
confrontation,
sort of activism.
Yes.
And that's not so much our bag. So I'd like to say there will be no arrests whatsoever.
We did say, how can people contact you if they want to, if they want to sort of get involved in Brighton and Hove?
You can find me, our website is www.theblackfish.org. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we'll get all the links up on the website after the show.
Absolutely, yes. So then you can just go along and join in. And so have you got any more things going on? I mean, down here, down this way in the future? I don't know what, there is happening in the world of conservation and fish.
We've got a volunteer training up in London next weekend. So if anyone would like to come along to that to find out more about the Blackfish, we'd love to have you.
That's good.
There's a Facebook event on our Facebook page, so check that out. We're also going to... we're in the final stages of dotting the I's and crossing the T's to have a bit of outreach stuff in the Lush store that you've got here. So that will definitely be all over social media as well.
I didn't know we had a Lush store.
Oh, you do.
Is that like a sort of body shop, only more modern?
Exactly. So the Lush, Lush Cosmetics, and they do loads of great campaigning work, and they're really supportive of what we do. So we're teaming up with them. So hopefully we'll be down here really soon.
Where is that? Although other cosmetic stores are available.
Lush is... I've got no idea where Lush is in Brighton. I walked past it on the way here, but it's just...
Well, it's
in the city centre.
You listening may well know that anyway. Yeah. You can always look it up.
Sorry.
That's great. That's like the old... that reminds me of the old saying, what was it? The man, woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. You could say, like a fish needs cosmetics. You see?
Indeed.
Wonderful. Well... Charlie, that's been so good. You did say that you had to rush off.
I do, I'm sorry.
By all means, don't.
I've just realised I'm actually popping to the pub now. So and for the reason of meeting up with a few Blackfish supporters. So if there's anyone who's at a loose end...
Whoa, there you go.
Come and say hi. I'm trying to remember which pub it is now. It's one of your Wetherspoon ones. Probably not the best choice.
Well, at least everyone would know where that is.
Exactly. But which one is it? Let me just double check.
There's one on North Street, and I believe there's one on West Street. Oh, you better say. Yes.
I'm just looking up. I'm really sorry.
I know what. Tell us after we have a tune. Charlie, thank you very much. Charlie with How to Get Involved with the Blackfish at this very moment. Here is some more music from a foreign part. I'm not sure if I've played this before, but I'm going to play it again anyway. Here is the wonderful Emily Carter-Reggio from Suriname, Dutch Guyana, also known as. It's a little small country, probably not that small, but not many people. Lots of rainforest. It's on the north coast of South America. Here's Emily Carter-Reggio. I believe she's singing in Malaysian. And this is called Au Senang Kaui. It sounds to me like a cover, but I'm not sure of what.
Apa aku ra ngerti rino wengi aku ora bisa turun apa tresnaku sing marake Jangan kau esing kaliyane sing tansah tresnani yo namung kowe kowe dhewe.
Fabulous Emily Carter-Reggio from Suriname, also known as Dutch Guyana, between Guyana and British Guyana. That's French Guyana. Anyway, there's three Guyanas side by side, and they're like between, is it Venezuela and Brazil, on the north coast of South America. And there's lots of people from Indonesia there, and that, I think she was singing in Malaysian. You can look her up, EMMELYKARTOREDJO. Well worth it. Great videos. And this is the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb. And I've been talking to Charlie Bennett, and she was just looking up where she's going after the show on Sunday evening.
I've worked it out now.
Exactly. So if you want to find out more about the Blackfish campaigning group and how to get involved, you can go along and meet Charlie at the Wetherspoons on
West Street, so the Bright Helm, and I'm going to be there from 6 until 7, so if anyone out there...
Get along.
Definitely. It'd be great to see some new faces.
There you go. So look, you know, how convenient is that? You hear Blackfish, the radio show, go to Blackfish, the meeting, just straight away afterwards. Apologies if you're listening to one of the repeats. Well, you'll have to go online, but at least you'll be able to find the website links on the Facebook page then.
Exactly. And so, yeah, get in touch whenever.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, we better let you get there so that the people who are running there won't get there before you.
Definitely.
You'll be able to recognise Charlie because she has a fetching yellow T-shirt with a black fish on the front.
It's incredibly bright. You won't miss me.
Thank you very much. Have you got any? Is there any last minute things we've forgotten to say?
I don't think so. I think that's about it, really.
To the listeners who don't get along.
Yeah. If you're interested, look it up or come down to the pub. And yeah, just... find out a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to see you again.
No. Absolutely. It's been great because, you know, these issues are so important. Because, I mean, it's not just whether there'll be any fish or not, but, you know, if there aren't any fish in the oceans, then probably it'll kind of just turn into some sort of toxic kind of thing that's,
It'll be overrun by jellyfish.
Ah, and that's no good because then we won't be able to go in it at all. So exactly. There'll be no swimming anymore. And what will people in Brighton do if we can't go in the sea?
Summer's wasted.
Well, our economy will be wasted too.
Exactly.
So there you go. And presumably, you know, if the fish aren't in there keeping everything going, well, maybe it'll all become stagnant and kind of, you know, and who knows what, apart from the jellyfish.
Exactly. And our oceans are essential to everything. So,
and global warming, I'm sure, would be a lot worse.
Yes.
Because there won't be anything to store the carbon dioxide. Doesn't the ocean store lots more carbon dioxide than even the rainforests?
Absolutely. It's the biggest store of carbon that we've got. And yeah, it just sucks it all up.
Exactly. And if there's no fish, then that probably won't happen. I'm not sure. Charlie's shaking. It might not have anything to do with it. I don't know. Maybe it's a totally different issue. But anyway.
If there's no fish, it will be tragic.
Absolutely. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, we have to go and open the door now. So, thanks very much to Charlie Bennett from The Blackfish. I went to see a band last night at the Gladstone. I'll tell you about it afterwards. I played this before, but they're very good. They're from Canterbury. They're called Coco and the Butterfields. And here is their single, which is called Warriors.
Joy, the King of Kings, we'll keep fighting till the end for a time that we've been taught to keep since our life begins. We are brothers, you and I, we'll keep standing side by side, for we are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. For we are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. For we are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. An asteroid that's racing through the sky, I still think of you like a hurricane that's turning around my mind. Say to give him time, like a criminal that plans his next attack. I know I've been off the road, but I promise I'll be back. Your heart is ticking like a clock, your tears are diamonds in the rough. Oh, it's been hard for me, but only God knows how it's been for you. Twice as sorry now, there's nothing else that I can do. You'll remember me as a man who kept his songs locked in a jar. As the ones who tried to supernova stars. For when our dreams are not, I promise you I'll drop you on the road. I said I tried the sky, but I'm telling you that this is all I've known. Your heart is ticking like a clock.
So what would you have for you?
Your tears are diamonds in the rough
that are shining through.
Oh, it's been hard for me, but only God knows how it's been for you. For the King of Kings, we'll keep fighting till the end. For a time that we've been taught to keep since our life begins. We are brothers, you and I, we'll keep standing side by side. For we are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. Are diamonds in the rough
that are shining.
Always been hard for me, but only God knows how it's been for you.
Twice as sorry now, there is nothing else I can do.
Joy, oh joy, the King of Kings, we'll keep fighting till the end. For a time that we've been taught to keep since our life begins. We are brothers, you and I, we'll keep standing side by side. For we are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. Joy, oh joy, the King of Kings, we'll keep fighting till the end. For a time that we've been taught to keep since our life begins. We are brothers, you and I, we'll keep standing side by side. We are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. We are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. We are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die. We are warriors and warriors, I'm not afraid to die.
That was the fabulous Coco and the Butterfields. And they were at the Gladstone last night. And strangely, for a band who are from Canterbury, who nobody really knows about, even though they won the Live and Unsigned music competition last year, there was quite a good crowd. And the people were all leaping up and down. It was really quite funny. They leapt up and down. And then they went up and asked the band to sign their records afterwards. I've not seen anything like it for a long time, especially from somebody who is, as I say, relatively unknown and not from around these parts. It is funny, I did think that even though they are a group of friends from Canterbury who started out busking on the streets of Canterbury, they do look a bit like they were put together like the characters in the TV sitcom Fresh Meat. like, you know, the sort of ideal types of people in a band. Kind of cross between the sort of Rumours era Fleetwood Mac and the Levellers. But very good, though, all the same. My feet tapped away all the time. And certainly the young people down at the Gladstone jumped up and down like, you know, I've not really seen for a long time for an acoustic-type band. So, anyway, this is the One World Community Show, and it is Sunday, the whole 16th of March. And so thank you very much for listening. I have been Donald Shire, and I'm not even sure that there's going to be time for any events, to any more things to tell you. I'm not even sure what's going on. I might have to play out instead. Don't forget to look at the One World Community Show Facebook page, facebook.com/One World Community Show, from about 6:30 on Sunday. There will be links to the Blackfish and their Facebook and all the different bands and musics on the show this week. Don't forget, if you are listening on Sunday and you want to get involved with the Blackfish, nip down to the Wetherspoons at the bottom of West Street. Other hostelries are available, but not where the Blackfish lady will be till 7:00. You can go along and find out more and get involved. Oops. Anyway, I hope you're having a happy St. Patrick's Day. Did I hear that Ireland did quite well in the Six Nations rugby? That's quite encouraging. I suppose St. Patrick's Day is almost always at the time of the Six Nations rugby. That's handy for rugby fans. I was going to play some Irish music, but I've totally forgotten that. I might have to play it next week, even though it won't be St. Patrick's Day then, but I might do it all the same. I think, well, let me see. I'm going to play out with a tune by a band, which they were based in Brighton, but they seem to have gone maybe back to Holland, where I think they came from in the first place. They certainly have been out and around touring in Europe for quite a while. They're called Trip to Dover. They did come along and they played live here in Brighton. But DJ Lamp has just come in, and he's going to be on Sunday night from 6 till 8 with the Eclectic Chair. And if you're listening to one of the repeats, it won't be him after. But he's just come back from Berlin, so I'm going to play the song from their Trip to Dover's EP, Vegas and Berlin, which might put him back in the mood his trip. it's an appropriately named song, Where Was I? So I'm going to play that. Thanks very much for listening. Tune in again next week for more One World Community Show. And we will see you then. So bye-bye.